Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee, co-host of the program of Bruce Miller, a longtime entertainment reporter. And we're in award season now, and things are heating up. Yep.
It's begun. Yeah, the Golden Globes, we're still unsure about who they are because it's not the same people. It was kind of purchased, if you will, the title, the name. And they have, I think, several hundred voters. Before it was like under 100. And so it's a little broader spectrum. But did you get your invitation to be a Golden Globe voter?
No, they haven't. Sought me out yet.
But, you know, the good thing about them is they're a bellwether for other awards. They don't necessarily duplicate what the Oscars are going to have because there's always a stray one in there, but they give you kind of a chance to, okay, we're culling the list a little bit. So these people aren't included, namely Jennifer Lopez. She's not in the talk anymore. And it gives you a chance to kind of focus in on some of the ones that are still out there that we haven't seen, you know?
Right. Right. And it is, I think the thing with the Golden Globes, like, as you said, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, whoever wins a Golden Globe is automatic for an Oscar. It does start presenting a picture, though. And I think one picture that's very interesting about these Golden Globe nominations is that Wicked, which some of us were lukewarm to, underperformed a little bit in these nominations.
Come on. How does it not get a nomination in the best musical category?
Right.
What other musicals are there this year? You know, it's like the only one that fits that description better than the ones that were nominated, but it's not in there. Instead, it's in the blockbuster, which it won last year. But I think that's a consolation prize. I really do. I think nobody wants that thing. They just go, well, I guess we got one so we can put it on our ads. But I don't know. Yeah. And I think we're going to see the same thing happen with the Oscars. I don't know that it's a done deal that Wicked for Good is going to get an Oscar nomination for Best Picture. And I do think that Cynthia Erivo could find herself in jeopardy.
Right. And I think that's something that we talked about, was that there's a good shot at, you know, like Ariana Grande, Cynthia Erivo, but, and they both have nominations for Golden Globes, but will that transfer over?
There are stronger ones in the lead actress category than there are in the supporting. Although in the supporting, I'm surprised they didn't throw Glenn Close in. Glenn Close is very, very good in the new Knives Out film.
Mm-hmm.
And she would be, that would be one that they would love to have at the show because she's a name. She, is old Hollywood as far as a lot of these people are concerned, and right. She would be a presence, and that whole movie wasn't even mentioned, and it must be because it didn't make their deadline for nominees. So she would have been one I would have stuck in Best Supporting Actress, and she's not in there.
Yeah. Another interesting one for a nomination, and it's a film that hasn't even come out yet, and that's Avatar: Fire and Ash. So it got the cinematic again, that blockbuster one, but has it been shown in enough places?
It needs is to be out in California where they're doing screenings, and I've gotten invitations to screenings for that. So there you are.
It's out technically.
And you know, there's probably studio pressure where they go, right, you know, we've got a big one coming. I hope you hold space for that. Isn't that what the two Wicked gals said? We're holding space for each other. Well, hold space for that. Because I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a Best Picture nominee in the Oscars. But interesting how in some of the lesser categories you go, really? Is this like Jake Kelly, I think, is going to be disappearing. I don't think that George Clooney is going to be getting an Oscar nomination. Adam Sandler could, but I think that's one of those films that's going off the charts. It's not going to happen. I think that some of those foreign language films are going to be satisfied enough with a nomination in the international film category, because I don't know that people are going to be digging for that. But there are people that you hadn't thought about in the acting categories that I think will be there. Rose Byrne, I watched her film the other night. If I had legs, I'd kick you.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely good. The film is done in a close-up, real close-up. Okay. So you can watch it on your phone and you'd be fine. And I think that's something in their favor if people are kind of trying to get this done and see these. So I think she could be the front runner, actually, for Best Actress. Jessie Buckley from Hamnet is going to be a strong contender. And everybody talks about her winning right now, but she's not a name they know. And, I think the Emma Stone factor has kind of worn thin. People are tired of nominating her every year for these kind of goofy films she does with her partner. So right. I don't know. But I think look for Rose Byrne to be in there. I think Kate Hudson, once that movie gets out, Kate Hudson is going to be a force, because Song Sung Blue is very clever, very smart. She sings in it. She goes through a big dramatic arc. There's a lot there. I think she could be a contender. So the ones you've been hearing about may not even graze the radar, like Cynthia Erivo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's interesting, too, on the TV side of things, it's a lot of the shows that we've grown accustomed to. You know, The Bear in the comedy, which we could, of course, debate whether or not it belongs in the comedy. In the drama side, you've got... The Pit is there, White Lotus is there, but also a couple newcomers are there too. I think was it Pluribus? That's a newish
one. And that
one.
Was a last minuter.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of interesting to see some of those. And Jeremy Allen White with a double nomination for both The Bear and also Springsteen Deliver Me From Nowhere. So he gets a little bit of a nod for both the movie side and the TV side. Now, again, we talked about Deliver Me From Nowhere not too long ago. And I'm obviously a big Springsteen fan. And, as somebody that sits on social media with a lot of other Springsteen fans, a lot of Springsteen fans were talking this movie up as being, like it's going to win an Oscar. It's all these nominations. And it only got that single Golden Globe nomination for Jeremy Allen White. So I think that doesn't speak well for it going into Oscar season either. Could it sneak into the top 10 for Best Pictures? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. When they have six nominees in the acting categories, I think that, somebody's doesn't belong, because the Oscars stick with five. And I think, that's just them hedging their bets. So then they get somebody sitting at the table who might be a big star that they want to have in the audience. Mm-hmm. So interesting. The Pit, which I love, did not get a Best Supporting Actress nominee for Catherine Linaza, and she won the Emmy. So, but they have that screwy category for supporting actor in anything. It could be supporting actor in a comedy series, a drama series, a limited series, a move made for TV movie. I mean, what was that the award plaque on the award? It must be like 6 inches of just disclaimer for the category title.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they need to split that up somehow. Best supporting performance in a series, best supporting performance in a movie or limited series or something.
Yeah. 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 It is a little bit odd to kind of shove them all together when you're splitting everything else up.
How do you rate them against each other? It's just a gut instinct. That's all.
Right. Right.
And your Last of Us didn't do well.
No.
Bella Ramsey was nominated, but that's about it. So it's, I question how they come up with these, but I think there is an attempt made to get a representation of studios and networks and whatever,
right,
so that they all have some buy-in, so they've got to buy an ad in their program.
Yeah. Where do you stand on the Golden Globes? Because for me, I love watching the Oscars, and not that I take who wins and loses too seriously, but I when I look at the Oscars and see which films or actors are nominated, I'm like, oh, okay, that seems to make sense. They seem to know what they're talking about. And the same goes for the Emmys, especially the primetime Emmys. I don't follow enough on the daytime side to be able to speak to those. But when you give me a list of Emmys and say, all right, these are the shows, these are the actors that are nominated, and all the additional side categories that go with it, I take those very seriously. I've always had a hard time getting into the Golden Globes because it's the movies, but it's also TV, and the timeline is a little bit different and the criteria is a little bit different. And I just have a hard time taking them seriously.
They're like the popularity contest in your school. So if you liked somebody and they weren't necessarily a good football player, singer in choir or actor in plays, you might win. And so that's the Golden Globes. They're kind of the People's Choice Awards for those kinds of things. And the bigger the name, the bigger the likelihood of you winning. I don't know that, you know, do you think, have you heard of people saying, and where do you keep your Golden Globe? You never hear that question being asked of them, but they do want to know where the Oscar is.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when you're watching a show and you'll see the office space of somebody and they've got their awards on the shelf, you know, you'll see the Oscar and you'll see the Emmy. You never see a Golden Globe sitting out.
And they've got them.
Right. Yep. That's what you put up, in that back room somewhere.
They're down in the rec room with the bowling trophies.
Oh wow!
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they've redesigned the statue, so it is kind of pretty, and it looks like it's really heavy, but they have to do some repair work on their reputation, because when there were people who were buying the things to be able to win them, that doesn't bode well, and so we'll see if this new group is good at, you know, picking the right people, but they could be a real good first shot at who's winning. And that's right. What I like about the Golden Globes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a good start to the award season. You kind of get a sense for what's there. And I always like these types of awards also, because it just reminds you of what came out in case you missed something. Cause there's a lot of film, you know, like that Clooney Adam Sandler movie. I totally forgot about that one, and it just hit Netflix in the last week or so. And I added that to my to watch list. So it's a good reminder of some things that have come out, and like, well, you know, maybe I need to give this a shot. It reminds me, of course, that now might be the time where I want to renew my Apple TV Plus subscription so I could go watch a few shows like Pluribus or something like that. So, you know, it's a good side item. I mean, I'll only take it so seriously, but you know, it's like
so much of social media and apps and things. There's so much there. You need somebody to help kind of cull the herd for you, mm-hmm. and that's what it does.
I don't have enough time in my day to keep track of everything and to watch everything. And sure, it's a good way to rein things in. So. But yeah, so that, you know, the Golden Globes are out, we'll have to keep an eye on that. And of course others, you get to vote in some awards, right? What do you usually take part in?
Price ones. We just had those, announced.
Okay.
Very similar, but it's a weird kind of a process because you get put on a panel where you have to say that you have looked at all of the shows that are eligible in that category. I don't know if I could say this, but I was on a category.
Okay.
And it had a lot of candidates that you were expected to at least wait to watch one or two episodes of. Mm-hmm. If it's like that, if it's not a limited series, you'd have to watch all of it. If it were a movie, you must watch all of it. Mm-hmm. But then you're with other people who also had to do the same thing. And you start kind of discussing things. You make short lists. Then you make another list of who you get. You have to put, I think it was eight. We had for each category, and we had to say who we thought, and then you debate it a little bit,
okay.
And then they make you do a final vote that we don't get to see what everybody else is voting for. Mm-hmm. So then they add those up, and then they, from that, they get the final category nominees.
Okay.
And yeah, it's fun because you get a chance to talk to people who have been through the same thing you have.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that is always the case, you know?
Yeah.
I know people who have been on Emmy panels, and you have to go to, this is in the old days, they've changed this, but you had to go and watch the show at like a hotel or a business building on a day. So they might have best actress in a comedy series, and you'd have to sit there and watch like one episode from each of the shows and then vote while you're there as this blue ribbon panel. Well, what if the room is stacked with a lot of friends of some one person?
Yeah.
You know, it could be not so good. But here we're from all over the world, and we don't know each other, but we do have the ability to talk to each other about, and they make you make sure that you're not just texting somebody individually, that you share your opinions. And I think it works. I think when I looked at the final list, I go, well, wait a minute. I really wanted this person and they didn't get nominated. What happened? Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't enough. I didn't make a strong enough case, I guess, for the person I thought was really good for that category. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah.
So it's different. But I'm sure that's they do panels or something for the Golden Globes. I'm
right.
Sure they.
Yeah.
So all that's the process. But Oscars, it's a whole different thing. You're by category. You have to if you're an actor, you vote for actors, and you get all that done. And then when they get to the final, then you can vote in all the categories. But they don't let like actors aren't going to decide who the best sound is. Because
right.
They really know who the best sound is. They would just pick by the name of the movie.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think it is good that they have specialists in areas that look at it and go, yeah, I think here's why this is that should be a nominee. And what's fun is that when it comes, the final list comes out, you'll see some film has like 10 nominations, yet it was 10 different categories that had different people voting, so they all must have thought it was decent enough to get into that final round.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, cool to see. But that was then, this is now. The new stuff is starting to roll in because we're getting near the it's after the winter break and starting to look at the new series for 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I've been going through a lot of interviews for that. It's like nuts. It really is. And some fun things that I, you know, wasn't on my radar, but the second season of Percy Jackson and the Olympians, familiar with that show?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I know they did the movie or they attempted the movie series a number of years back, and then they did a season one about a year ago, and it's based on the books.
Right. And the books were big hits. I think there were 5 books in the series, and they did the first season, and it was like, wow, this is really, I mean, because they put some money behind it. And then nothing. Where is the next season? Well, they had some strikes they had to deal with. They had, you know, there are a lot of issues, so that now when we hit the second season of this, the kids are old. They're, you know, they were like 11 and 12 in the first season, and now 16, 17, 18, mm-hmm. 29, you know, they're all up there. So it's a different kind of a world, but they're all at this camp, this half-blood camp, and they've got to deal with storms and seas that are restless and gods that are acting up. I mean, it's kind of like dropping kids into the middle of some Greek mythology that nobody wants to read, and then making it interesting for them. It's bringing classics down to teenagers level. So I got a chance to talk to a lot of the actors from the series, the new season, and the ones who are in the first season. Walker Scobell, or Scoble, depending on how you pronounce it, is Percy Jackson. And is not with his posse in this second season. He had two friends that they did everything together, and they've separated them somehow for a different purpose. So I got a chance to talk to Walker and some of his co-stars, and here's a little bit of that conversation. Why did it take so long for a second season to come about?
He was too busy growing.
I was busy growing. I had Colin, and yeah. No, it was...
It was a strike.
There was the writer's strike.
It was a strike.
I think they wanted to see how season one did as well.
Yeah.
Before committing to a second season.
Yeah.
Will it go faster than after this? Will we see these more quickly than once every 20 years?
I mean...
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Wait, burning and turning. Is that the way that...
Yeah.
Burning and burning? Like...
We were praying that, you know...
Yeah.
It's less than a year, maybe a year.
Yeah.
Hopefully the next one comes out.
You and Leah, we gotta...
Yeah, well, it's a big one. You guys grow like crazy.
Yeah.
Did you get that question a lot then when people saw you? Did they go, what happened?
I don't get it a ton, but I mean, it's definitely a question. It's definitely a question. I feel like mostly from my family. My family will ask me that.
Like, when is it coming out? When is it coming out?
Exactly. And it's like,
when are you going back to work is what they're trying to say to you.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of here. Yeah.
What is it like having a new posse? Because that seems real... You know, fascinating that there are new kind of groups of these people.
It's kind of like like Dior and Charlie have been here since the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then Daniel coming in, like he just fit right in.
Fit right.
And the interesting thing about this season is that we're like this is like the first season where we're all up there together for basically the whole time. Mm-hmm. And that was really nice, like for Leah, Aryan, and I mean, just speaking for us, because like for the first season, it was just us and when people would come in and out, but like for the most part, it was just the three of us all the time. So
it was nice to be around.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Dior, it looks like you're kind of taking over. Is that true?
I wouldn't say that she's taking over. No, I think she just has a good arc this season. I'm excited.
And I don't trust Charlie. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I don't either.
You shouldn't trust him.
You don't trust Charlie, or you don't trust him.
He will hurt you right now. Let him do that.
Either one.
Yeah. See, stick with me, Walker. We're going down that road because do not trust these people, even though they look like they're friendly.
Yeah.
He's not friendly. He's
a friendly guy. No, and I felt the friendly real nice and up close.
Yeah.
Right to the eyebrow.
When you have the older people come in and they're very made up, how do you guys react?
Oh.
I mean, seeing the Giants for the first time was insane. Yeah. I remember there was like a Giant team meeting.
I thought you were talking about that.
Oh,
you're talking about this?
Older people.
You know, us grandparents.
Us
ones like the King and all the kind of guest stars that show up. Always in wild costumes, and they look cool.
Oh, shout out to the hair and makeup.
Hair and makeup.
I mean, they work their magic and like make them look so good.
Yeah, insane.
I don't know how they do it.
It's all practical. Mm-hmm. It's all practical.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was so like I particularly got to work mostly with like the Lace Dragonian Giants, and just all those guys were like, they were just hilarious on set.
They were so fun. Yeah.
Between takes, they were all just goofing around, and like, there were even some takes where like they would just improvise like funny lines and like so unserious, and then they look at you and
like,
throw a fireball at you. And
chariot things look really fun.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The chariots were awesome. Yeah.
When you have to do a kind of a green screen scene, how do you kind of imagine it or fake it?
Well, you know, that was the beauty about this season is that we didn't have to fake a lot. I mean, even the stuff that we did have to fake, like Ironclad, like we had to fake the ocean around us.
Yeah.
It's the sea of monsters. So it's gloomy and it's gray, and all of like the sheets around us to mimic the sky, they were all gray and there was rain.
Yeah. They're like water at us.
And... yeah. We didn't really have to fake much this season. So
yeah,
we got really lucky. Almost everything was practical.
Yeah.
The thing that amazes me is that they have, you know, the adults have all these kind of very strange names, and you guys just spill it out like, oh, we know that name. And is that hard to learn?
Sometimes. Some. I mean, I think they're not names that we haven't read before. And we normally do like a table read, or we'll go over it with our acting coach, Andrew, and we'll find the correct pronunciation. But yeah, I think sometimes it is hard to find, because sometimes, like, you know, Rick, the author, will be there and we'll ask him, like, hey, like, you know, what is the, what is the pronunciation for this? And he'll just be like, I'm not really 100% sure.
Yeah, I've had some debates on set about certain names.
Castellan, Castellan.
Yeah, my last name, Castellan, Castellan.
Thalia, Italia.
Yeah,
Thalia, Italia.
Well, if it's your last
name. Or Thalia.
Thalia.
Oh, sorry?
If it's your last name, don't you get to decide?
Yeah, what do you want to be?
You know, I personally, I've been saying Castellan forever, but but, you know, there is a video out there of Rick saying Castellan. And ultimately, he's the one. He created this world. He created this character. So
he's the god.
If Rick says Castellan, then, you know,
Rick
says goes.
Well, Rick.
Well, I can hardly wait to see you guys in 20 more years. So keep going.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, Bruce, thank you for that. And you have another interview set,
yeah,
right?
And if you're wondering who the other voices were, it's D.R. Goodjohn and Charlie Bushnell with Walker. And they're kind of a new group, if you will. In the one that now I want you to listen to, you get to hear from Daniel Deemer. And Daniel Deemer is new to the cast. He plays Percy's half-brother, who's a Cyclops. Now, how do you play a guy with one eye in the middle of his forehead? And I was curious, and he was very good at explaining all that. And he's with the guys who were part of Percy's posse last time out, Leah Jeffries and Arian Samadri. So when you hear those voices, you'll understand that's who that is. But you'll catch Daniel right away because he fills you all in on playing a Cyclops. Bruce Miller at the Sioux City Journal, are you ready for me?
I'm ready.
Okay, Daniel, what was it like being the newbie?
It was great. It was great. It's not often amazing. This one was a great group. So, they were all very nice to me. They all welcomed me with open arms and allowed me to kind of do my thing without kind of getting in the way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. It was... No.
Okay.
How is it to play a Cyclops? I mean, what do you prepare? How do you do it?
Yeah, it was a fun kind of experiment into the physicality of things. The kind of heart of who he is identical to kind of putting together any character. It's just figuring out, okay, what kind of motivates him? What does he love about himself, about other people? How does he connect with the world around him? And so with all of those things, that it's always my favorite part about putting together characters, figuring out the psychology, the sociology. And then with the Cyclops particularities, really was the physicality and being able to build a world where kind of he moves and sees the world and kind of connects with people in a slightly different way because of that. And with one eye, depth perception is going to be a completely different thing. And so the way that he kind of moves, especially when it's battle scenes, kind of moving faster, there's a little bit more carefulness, but he's also a master craftsman. So like he's obviously used to seeing the world the way that he does, and that there's a deftness to the way that he's able to kind of build things that's also really special. So just kind of figuring out which areas to play with and which ones kind of took care of themselves is with the character creation.
Okay, did you read ahead in the other books and try to figure out where he goes and what happens to him?
I mean, I'd read all the books multiple times when they were first coming out. So I've been a huge fan for ages. I've been very aware of where he ends up. I mean, to that spot, there was definitely a certain amount of preparation for later books that I was trying to create that show, hey, at least little tidbits that are hopefully for like the fans kind of show kind of where he's going, but also trying to stay true to the book itself and being present on the day to day as well.
Okay, Leah and Arian, they're breaking up our group. We can't have this. What's the deal?
I know, it sucks, but Grover...
No, sorry. He said, Leah, Arian, you're breaking up the group. I was like, me? What did I do?
Yeah, you're breaking us up, dude.
You chose the wrong people. That's your problem.
Like the wrong people?
Yeah, I'm aware.
But no, Grover's on his own this season, and it's rough for him and for me.
And Leah, what's your answer to all of this? Because you're the troublemaker.
Yeah, dude. I can't believe you would do this to us.
When did I pick Tyson to come with us? What? Like, I didn't want bro there in the first place.
Yeah, you never would have chosen it.
Actually, sorry, I think... Wait, what? Wait, am I tweaking? Wait, am I... Did I pick you?
No.
Oh, good. Okay.
You're totally correct.
Okay, great. I, what I would have to say about it? In the beginning, yeah, I was a little bit of a struggle. It was like, what are you doing here? And did you replace my Grover? And you will never. And then after a while, it's like you didn't replace Grover, but this could be another group that I could deal with as well. Mm. You know?
The two of you, how has this been? I'm sure the fans have come up to you and said, when is the next one coming? Come on, what's going on? Has it been like that or what?
A little bit, but I think that's it's a good issue. I'm reluctant to even use the word issue, but it's a good thing to be a part of, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me happy that fans want to see more because I want to see more, frankly. I'm right there with them. I feel as much a part of the audience as I am, like, actually filming it. You know what I mean?
Sure. Will it go soon? I mean, will we get it more quickly than it has been, do you think?
I think so. The only reason why I might say yes, because, you know, there was that huge break because of a reason. And, you know, now and stuff, it'll be kicking out a lot faster. It'll still take time, but it won't be like that 1 to 2 year break.
Well, thank you so much. And remember who your friends are.
Always.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Always. Okay. Thanks so much.
Bruce, thank you again for that set of interviews. It'll be interesting to see how this does. One of my daughters, who is the bookworm of the family, and keeps track of how many books she's read, and she's basically averaging like a book a week this year, which is way more than I read. She's read all the Percy Jackson books and really likes them a lot. She was really into the movies. I can't remember if she watched the first season of this reboot show, but yeah, I mean, she's into it. I think it's a good series for kind of that tweenish age, you know, tweens, young adults. It's
it won
a
lot of children's and family Emmys for the first season. So, you know, it's got the goods. You can see they're spending money on it and it means something. But ask her. I would love to know what a real reader, what they think of it. And if they think it's a worthy duplication of what the story is all about.
Yeah, sounds good.
And
all right.
Too old. Ask her if there are the kids too old to be playing these parts. Because that's what I kind of think. Because they're getting, you know, it's like, well,
yeah.
Are we ready for Social Security? What's going on here?
Right. Well, it's like Stranger Things. I mean, you know,
yeah,
some of those kids
exactly.
Are just they're adults now. So, but yeah, it's always interesting to see. I mean, and we're gonna see it again with this Harry Potter series if it comes out and runs through its whole thing on HBO, where they're casting kids with the expectation that you're gonna be on this series for like what 8 to 10 years, right? So,
well, and then who's gonna die of the old adults?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Dumbledore is not making it to the end. he didn't survive the movies.
Yeah. Predict that one. I think that might be we'll go to Vegas on the money.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks again for listening. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.